Wells Tech, episode 625, recorded on Friday, March 27th, 2020. Potluck, Online Education Ideas. Wells Tech is a podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Today on the show, we are joined by professor at Martin Luther College, Rachel Feld, where we talk about technology and education and a bunch of resources that are critical nowadays as many teachers are teaching from home. We'll explore a number of contributions given to us through our Wells Tech community. We're also joined by missionary Mike Hartman about some of the things that he has done through his Latin America mission team and their popular applications that are reaching around the world. A lot of news in tech, Wells Now, PICS, ministry resources, the list goes on and on. We're happy you joined us. Stay tuned. Welcome back, everybody, to A Wells Tech. This is episode 625, recorded on Friday, March 27th. My name is Martin Spriggs, and Wells Tech is a show about technology and ministry, and my partner in the many years that we've been doing Wells Tech has been the same, Sally Draper. How are you?
I am excellent, Martin, and happy to be talking with you today. And you know something strange if we're recording on a Friday.
Yes.
This is one of five or less episodes, maybe three or less episodes we've ever recorded on a Friday. So
right.
Different times.
Different times, yeah. But we've still got the same gracious God and lots of good things to talk about, even in these challenging times. And helping us do that this week, this is our educational technology focused show. So we've asked Rachel Feld, Professor Rachel Feld from Martin Luther College, to join us. And she is graciously doing that. Hey, Rachel, how are you on this Friday?
Hi, guys. I am doing well. It's actually kind of calmed down a little bit, so it's nice to have a break and get to talk about technology with you two.
So what's going on at MLC in these times? How are you delivering education?
Yeah, well, we got the word at the end part of spring break that we would be moving online. So we extended spring break for our students by 1 week. And during that week, myself and a couple other people on campus put together some really quick tutorials and help sessions and all that kind of stuff to help our professors get ready to teach online. We started with online classes on Monday, and so far things have been going pretty well. It's no easy task to take a face-to-face course and put it online, and our professors have been nothing but outstanding with learning new tools and thinking about new delivery methods and being nice and flexible. I've learned some things about, you know, how do we type in Greek and other things? How do we teach swimming online? Things I never thought I'd have to discuss.
How do you teach swimming online?
Did you know there are land swimming exercises?
Is that right?
There are. Thankfully, we've got a lot of creative professors that are helping each other out, and so far seems to be going pretty well.
Awesome. So the director of academic computing had to go into turbo mode these past couple of weeks and do a crash course for some folks. That's awesome.
Somebody commented to me, and Martin, when you described the podcast as being the intersection of ministry and technology, and Rachel, director of academic computing, this is the times we have been preparing for all our lives, actually. And here we are seeing things kind of pushed to the max with technology, but ministry continuing, which is just really exciting to see.
God has been preparing us, which is the good part, right? You know, and that's the comfort that we have that if we tried to figure this out on our own.
Yes.
Holy cow, right? So what are we talking about today, this beautiful Friday morning?
Well, probably the one thing we haven't said, the elephant in the room, is COVID-19. And that's what's made this dramatic change at MLC. And it's made it a dramatic change in all of our Lutheran schools and mm-hmm. public schools across the entire country and actually across the globe. So I guess with a specific focus on ed tech, maybe just talking about some of the good creative resources that have come out that are helpful kind of across the board to anyone making this transition and, you know, functioning in this new time. And, you know, Rachel, you have an advantage. You have college students who more than likely have had some form of distance education in their past. It probably wasn't a completely foreign thing for them, but kindergartners may be a little bit different story. So what have you seen out there that people are doing at all these different age levels?
Yeah, we've actually held a few webinars for our first and second year teachers through the new teacher induction program. So it's been really nice to hear all of their ideas, but discussing how to teach preschool and kindergarten online is also on that list of things I would never thought I would talk about. Lots of teachers are using video conferencing apps, Google Meet, Zoom. There's a variety of ones that are being used just to kind of keep those kids talking to each other and that they can see their teacher and their friends and know that, you know, it's kind of scary to have to stay home all the time. And I'm sure little kids, you know, they don't quite understand why. So anything we can do to help support them in that way. And I suggested to one preschool teacher, you know, maybe divide your class up into smaller groups, because the idea of video chatting with like 20 preschoolers, while it would be wildly entertaining, it doesn't sound super productive. So, you know, if you've got like a group of five or so, you could, you know, do your Bible lesson, do your songs, some stories, let them talk to each other. I think providing those opportunities are probably one of the best things that our teachers can do right now.
One thing that I've noticed in social media is the number of parents having a greater appreciation for what their teachers do, because they're obviously having to be much more involved in the educational process, and I would assume even more so at the lower grade levels. So the more resources that are made available to them, I'm sure the more appreciative they are through the course of this.
Absolutely. And for those younger grades, I think a lot of it is just, here are resources, do what is going to work best for your kid, making sure that you get in God's word as the most important part, get in some math and some reading. And, you know, that might be through baking cookies or going on a scavenger hunt outside with appropriate social distancing and, you know, all those kind of learn through experience things. Uh-huh. And then taking some pictures and having parents send in pictures to a, you know, private classroom sharing site of some sort so that teachers can see that learning is happening.
You know, one challenge I think many people are struggling with, and it's become more in the spotlight, is digital divide. And, you know, everything we've been focusing on in this discussion so far has been about getting people online to talk through video chats and things like that. But I know that there are many of our schools that are preparing paper packets and sending things home entirely on paper and getting the parents to drop off and pick up and things like that as well.
Absolutely. And making sure that you're not leaving anyone out with educational resources is really important. Some of the major cell phone providers and internet service providers are offering free service for K-12 or possibly even K-college students and their families. So that could be something that families might look into, but also I'm pretty sure those companies are probably backed up with requests right now.
Mm-hmm. Rachel, a question for you. My wife is a teacher, and she's doing the online thing. She teaches sixth grade, upper grades. And she made a couple of comments that I thought were kind of interesting, and like your reaction too, is she felt that one of the things she doesn't miss is having to spend a lot of classroom time in discipline, you know, kind of classroom management kinds of things. But, you know, the other challenge is it's very difficult if there are missing assignments or kids that aren't staying up, connecting with them. How are you think? How would you think about that? And how are you maybe coaching your new teachers in that kind of distance learning challenge? Where, you know, if somebody goes dark, how do you make those connections or keep those connections with the kids?
Oh, absolutely. That's an issue we're facing here at the college too. You know, if students aren't logging into Moodle, what are we going to do about it? Because you can't go to their dorm room
right.
anymore and say, hey, what's up? So personal contact is important. You know, sending an email that is just to that mom or just to that student can really help. And maybe a phone call to reach out if they actually, you know, the whole, do they answer a phone number they don't recognize? But, you know, anything we can do to make it a personal connection and not make it an accusatory, hey, why aren't you doing this? But more of a, what can I do to help you? Because I know this situation's really difficult.
So we've put together a lot of links in our show notes. You guys need to head over to wellstech.wells.net because we have examples and resources that you can use put out by our Lutheran Schools Office, crowdsourced by teachers across the nation, enrichment activities and things like that. We also have examples of devotions and reading times and different resources that you can tap into so you don't have to do everything yourself, but you can use some of the things that other people are sharing. One great example is from Pilgrim Lutheran School in Menominee Falls, where Pastor Greg Lyon is doing a weekly devotion, and it's really geared toward littles, so preschool, kindergarten, lower elementary, and very short and sweet, but also very much on their level, something that they would enjoy and that kind of thing. And our full array of historic Kids Connection videos are out there available, so you can use those as well. So that's just a few of the resources that we'll be linking to, so be sure and check out the show notes.
And I think, too, that those resources are perhaps the most important to be sharing with parents, because that might be the, you know, if they just start Googling devotion resources or Bible lesson resources for teaching their kids, you don't know quite what they're going to come up with. And depending on their ability to discern what is a good resource and what isn't, providing them with Bible resources and devotion resources on a daily basis, that I think is the most important subject to address with online learning.
Excellent. One of the things that has really been encouraging is to see the willingness of people to share their expertise, get out there and ask questions, answer questions, collect a lot of these different resources. So our list will just be kind of a pointer to some of these other lists where, you know, there's a whole Facebook group or conversation going on with over 1,000 members of Wells, over 1,000 Wells educators, you know, that, you know, just kind of started organically and just talking about real rubber hits the road kind of things. How do you do this and what do you suggest for that? And just kind of a real active sharing. And I think people are checking in pretty regularly to try and figure this out together. That's a real neat thing to watch.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Very true. And maybe a good segue into our interview for this week, because again, people helping people. We had missionary Mike Hartman reach out to us because the Latin American missionary team realized they were kind of in a unique situation. They've been doing online learning, online community, reaching out through social media for probably 10 plus years now, and they've had great success in learned a lot along the way as well. And Missionary Hartman was willing to sit down with us and share some of the things and guidelines and tips and things to help people get started in this new way of delivering content. Joining us on Wells Tech today is Missionary Mike Hartman, a friend of the show, a longtime friend of the show. He serves on the One Latin America team. Welcome, Mike.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Sally. Thank you.
Happy to have you here today, and especially happy to tap into some expertise that is very valuable in the circumstances we've found ourselves in lately. Before we dive into that, though, maybe you can just acquaint our audience with your ministry and where you're located, things like that.
Sure, Sally. So I serve on our for World Missions. I serve with World Missions and have my whole ministry. I was in Mexico for about 20 years, and a year and a half ago, we relocated to South Florida. We're in the Miami area, and we do a ministry that's a regional ministry all over Latin America. The main focus is called Academia Cristo. And really here in Latin America, we've been doing online ministry since 2008, I believe is when we started. And we started to see a common problem. There's a lot of places here where people didn't have a place to go to church on Sunday. A lot of people, as the world started to get more connected with smartphones and such, started reaching out to us. And so that opened up our eyes to an opportunity, and we launched Academia Cristo in 2015 and began offering online classes spring of 2016. And so, yeah, we've been doing online ministry here for a few years now, and really just it's neat to see how God has been blessing it. We were actually getting overwhelmed with the number of people who wanted to study the Bible with us, and so we came up with a plan of how to handle larger amounts of people wanting to study with us, and that involved creating a new app that was just launched actually here in last February, so just the last month, and we launched our Academia Cristo app, and it's really it contains four self-study courses that anybody who wants to get started learning more about what the Bible says, learning about the peace we have in Jesus, they can download that app and start right away. And those who make it through these four self-study courses are then able to sign up and study live with Academia Cristo teachers online, or if they are in a place where we have on-the-ground ministry going on, they can study face-to-face with people that way. And so we have, I think in the first 6 weeks, the 30,000 people downloaded the app. And I was just checking here yesterday. We had 3,000 people use it, and 499 people completed one of our four self-study Bible classes that we have on the app. And I think we have right around 100 people studying in our live classes with online live classes right now with teachers. So we have been doing online ministry for a while, and it's been a blessing here in Latin America.
Great. Thank you. Yeah, that's been a wonderful story to follow, and oh boy, the blessings just keep coming, it seems, which is fun to see God work that way through his Holy Spirit. And he's also provided, you know, you and some of your experiences to us in some very unique times where we're faced with a number of congregations. In fact, most of our congregations are faced with some kind of distance ministry that they have to get more comfortable with, as they can't gather in groups, most of them groups larger than 10. And for the most part, I think every congregation is trying to figure out this thing on the fly. Now, some do, some learning, but might be helpful from your perspective. And now these congregations don't have an app, but there are other tools that are at their disposal that could be surrogates and substitutes for kind of the way you approached it. Maybe you could talk to us and to them a little bit about, you know, is this a doable thing? So as you're trying to figure out how to not just stream worship services, I mean that's kind of the table stakes of, you know, getting ministry and kind of what you do in the building out, you know, that's fairly common. But about the learning side and staying connected with your members and providing some kind of, you know, Bible study, or, you know, just staying connected through, you know, whatever means. How is it possible for congregations to do this quickly here? And what kind of tools would you recommend?
Sure. Well, first, I think, as far as, you know, is it possible? All of us as Christians, we know that God works through challenges, even the biggest mm-hmm. challenges, unexpected challenges. And Sally and Kevin have always had a real special place in my heart, because I think back, it was 10 years ago that mm-hmm. that we had to unexpectedly relocate from one city to another city in Mexico because of violence and such going on in that country. And then, you know, there we were, it was an Easter Sunday, and mm-hmm. there was no church. We didn't know anybody in the city. There was no place to go to church. And so we went to church online through the church in Sleepy Eye that Easter Sunday. And that's always been a, you know, and now God's blessed that there are actually two churches in León where we ended up moving to. And mm-hmm. and you look at that, one of my favorite stories in the Bible, Acts chapter 8, Stephen, and right after Stephen's death, you know, that kicked off big changes in the young Christian mm-hmm. church, and yet God was with them, and he'll be with us again here now. So we, you know, we have that confidence that even if everything around us is changing, God is not, and his promises are not. When this happened, we talked on our team and asked, you know, well, what is there anything we can do? And one thing that we have offered is to help in any congregation that's looking for just someone to talk to that has experience doing ministry and helping people figure out ministry in a lot of different settings. When you're trying to figure out digital, online, some of those needs in a lot of different settings, we're happy to help. We've been blessed here just in the last week or two. I think we've helped people in about 7 different countries on 3 different continents and at least 7 or 8 different state congregations in 7 or 8 different states here in the United States. So we're happy to help as our Latin America team is. And I'll give you the contact information for Andrew Johnston, who is our lead missionary. We're just asking anybody, if you want to reach out, you can reach out to missionary Andrew Johnston, and then either he would be happy to help or pass you off to somebody else. As far as just a few general tips and ideas, first, when I talk with somebody, you know, I was talking with no matter where you are, when you're looking at the need of doing online ministry, one of the things I encourage people to do is look around you at the tools that your people are using. So whether you are in Wisconsin or in India or in Cuba or in wherever it is, look at the tools that your people are using and try to start with what they're using. So if you have maybe you have an older congregation and the people there aren't really feeling like they're very, you know, technology capable, and there's all kinds of changes right now going on. So giving them one more tool or asking them to do mm-hmm. one more thing can feel overwhelming. Look at what they have. You know, maybe that older congregation, they aren't super into technology, but they're used to email and they have email addresses. And so can you pull out your video, your camera, take a short encouraging video of yourself, load it up to YouTube, and then share it with people via the tool that they're accustomed to of email. So that's one of the tips we always encourage people to do is start with what they have. Another tip that we encourage people when you're doing online ministry, and especially if you're recording things, shorter is and more frequent is better. So when you think of the pastor, you're typically used to, you know, an hour-long Bible study. When we do online Bible studies, we cut it down to about 45 minutes. And that's an actual Bible study. And that's where we have, you know, we now have a lot of material that's prepared for that. So if you think of a sermon where you might preach 15, 20-minute sermon, when we do online stuff, we encourage people to do 2 to 3 minute encouraging messages. If you're making a video that's a teaching video, you know, 6-7 minutes is an ideal time if it's an actual teaching video. So I think that's our second tip we tell people is keep it shorter and more frequent rather than longer. And yeah, just with the online. Mm-hmm. Couple others thoughts. This is my personal opinion here is if your congregation hasn't ever live stream, I would just personally encourage you to consider if jumping into live streaming is the best thing to do. You know, there are a lot of churches out there that have been doing live streaming for many years and do a really good job. And what I think most people will find is it's not super easy to do live stream well. It's like most mm-hmm. skills. It takes a while to develop them. And if you're, you know, rather... So one of the things we're doing here is you can use Facebook, which a lot of people are comfortable with, and especially older population is comfortable with. You can do a Facebook watch party and... you have a video, so you take a video of a well-done live stream service, and you can put that on your Facebook page and do a watch party and invite people to watch it together. And so there's way, but then you, rather than spending your time trying to figure out how to stream a service and how to put this all together and do it well, you know, that might be a better opportunity to focus on people personally and do shorter things, shorter encouraging messages and such during this time. I was actually just talking with one of the pastors that reached out to us, and he was saying how he used to struggle to get, you know, people were they had so many things going on, and it was hard to get time out of people's lives and try to call or set up a time to visit with people would be really challenging. It was now, it's like, I call my members and, you know, everybody wants to talk to the pastor and it's just a great time to connect with people personally.
Very good. Yeah, I think the Facebook platform definitely has exploded with a lot of gospel ministry, which is really neat to see how many people are sharing. And obviously, many of us are in the same circles. We're seeing each other's, but we also have extended friend circles that are seeing these things and being comforted by them and perhaps connecting with the church for the first time.
Yep. I agree. It's just today I had an opportunity to share, you know, share some words of gospel encouragement with somebody who, you know, if this hadn't happened, I'm sure I never would have had that chance, at least not today. And I had a couple other people that I met a few months ago and, you know, have never had a chance to share Jesus with them. And they actually came up to me and, you know, started the conversation. So there's one of the blessings when everybody is going through this is that it gives you opportunities to connect with people in that sort of way.
I think one of the things to keep in mind is to remember that people are going to be very understanding, even forgiving, you know, of, you know, maybe less than professional or perfect quality, that as you're trying to figure this out together, that's almost, you know, you know, the charm of, you know, charm's maybe not the exact right word, but you know what I mean. Just the kind of the togetherness and, you know, we're going to get through this together nature of this, that even if you try and fail, there's going to be an understanding that, hey, we're about ministry here and we're doing everything we can and we're just doing our best. And I think that will actually create a neat environment once we can finally get back together where it's, boy, we made a lot of mistakes, and boy, it was kind of amateur hour, but boy, we really tried, and the Lord blessed our work anyway. So I think that's going to be a neat thing that comes out of all this.
Yeah, I agree. And it is, you know, just yesterday I was able to connect. There were a church in Chile and a church in Colombia, both also looking at how to do online ministry. A lot of countries in Latin America are on complete, they're not, people are not allowed outside of their homes except for a couple of hours in the morning and stuff like that. So anyways, they're looking at online stuff. And actually, one congregation, they have somebody who's professional on the video side of things. And the other congregation has a very strong, they have some of the resources for the preaching side of it. And that it was, you know, neat to be able to see how you can get a couple of congregations to team together and say, you know, let's do our service together. If we work together on something and produce something, then we can both use our strengths and create something that is even better than if we were working separately.
Mm-hmm. Martin, you alluded to a little bit about us getting back together, and I think everybody is thinking about how happy we'll be to be able to be face-to-face with people again. Mike, much of your ministry hasn't been face-to-face. I mean, the numbers that you've shared with us through the years have been really large numbers, and obviously you guys are just a few people aren't able to meet all of them face-to-face. How do you go about keeping that community feel when we're all digital and virtual these days?
Sure. So, well, in Latin America, our goal is to help people start churches in their neighborhoods where they are. So we do, when people get to a certain point in our training program, we're very much interested in trying to meet face to face with them and help them start a church wherever they are. But how you help with that, you know, with the community, I think in some ways we're really blessed within the culture I serve that is just a very strong emphasis on personal relationships, and people want that. One of the things I've seen them do here recently is with people not being able to stay inside is actually using Zoom, and so the church some of the churches have accounts for Zoom. They've opened up accounts for Zoom, and then a lot, which is one of the teleconferencing networks, and it's not free, but it's also not a super expensive cost, and they've opened that up, and then they've given it to their members to use and encourage their members, hey, we're going to do an online meetup. Anybody who wants to can do an online meetup just to share, talk with each other about how things are going, and pray together, read a part of the Bible together. You know, so there you have the church is helping to facilitate the members sharing with each other and having that time together. In fact, there was just that one group I saw that was doing they did a game of Pictionary online. They did prayer and Pictionary on via Zoom. And, the church helped facilitate the access to Zoom. And then the members were able to get online and play something together and pray together and just be able to connect that way.
That's great.
Wonderful. All kinds of opportunities, and I think it's now is a great time. The Lord's allowing us to kind of think creatively and out of the box and stretch ourselves, and I'm sure He'll bless that work too. Mike, we'll get the information for your connection there, and we'll put that in the show notes. But I want to thank you for taking the time and sharing your thoughts here today. Appreciate that so much.
It's my pleasure. It's my pleasure.
Our thanks to Mike, as usual, friend of the show. He's been, you know, one of our listeners and has been gracious enough to come on the show many times over the years. And he reached out to us and said, hey, we'd love to help. And again, that the contact he provided is Missionary Andrew Johnston. And we'll have his email and phone number in the show notes as well. But he gave some really, really great tips. And we know these are coming from years of experience and years of success in trying to build these online communities. And it's a wonderful success story within Wells. But now he's able to leverage some of that knowledge and is willing to share it.
Yeah, just a couple of follow-up comments. We'll definitely include the link to the Wells website streaming page that's part of our online yearbook. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking for a worship service live stream, there's just a whole host of congregations who are listed there with links to their live streaming and things like that. And then just kind of a follow-up on that last thing he talked about. I love the prayer and Pictionary idea that people were just having some fellowship time, connecting and seeing one another and being together online through a church Zoom account. And I read more ideas around doing that kind of thing around building community. So perhaps around your Easter preparations, have everyone encourage people to dress up in their Easter finest and send in a selfie and put together a video montage so you can see the families for Easter Sunday, or distribute a short play, parts for a play or parts of a Bible reading, and have people make video and put those together. So using technology, even in our separateness, you know, joining together in one, that certainly would be a way of doing a community activity. And then finally, I'm going to include in the show notes links to a cool video, a group hand-holding circle where people recorded themselves reaching out with their right hand and then their left hand, and it fed into the next person doing the same thing as if they were reaching out and holding hands. And I thought that was a really cool, creative way to use technology to build that community or foster that community. So I'm sure we'll see more and more of that kind of thing as the days
pass. We're definitely seeing the creativity of God's people, and that's kind of neat. All right, let's move along. We have many articles to choose from for our news and tech section, but here are some education-related ones.
Yeah, actually, from our friends at Google, they have launched, I believe just yesterday, a new Teach from Home site where they've pulled together all kinds of resources related to teaching from home. They have a section about how do I teach remotely with video calls, and then they transition into how do I teach remotely without video calls, and they walk you through different things, tutorials, and resources that they have available around that. They have a section about accessibility. We haven't talked about that, but you know, we talked about digital divide, people that don't have access to the internet, but even people that have hearing impairments or whatever. And now we're going with all this video learning. You've got to be able to provide that closed captioning and things like that. Just different things to think about around accessibility. So very well done, and lots more to it than what I'm describing. But one thing they linked to was a Learn at Home page from YouTube, and it's specifically geared towards families, not teachers, but families encouraging the learn from home. And it's broken up by age group and things like that, so you can find some great resources and channels available through YouTube for learning at home. So that's Google doing their part to support us there.
Very good. So now switching our focus to news in Wells and our Wells Now segment. Unfortunately, a number of cancellations or postponements in some cases.
Right. Just wanted to mention these. I'm sure different people have heard about these through different channels, but we've recently talked about the Christ in Media XR Festival. We had Dr. Tom Custer on with us, excited about that festival that was scheduled for the beginning of April. They have postponed that to possibly a fall 2020 date. Right now, you know, nothing firm is set up. I've heard of various women's retreats. I was supposed to be at the Wells Cooley Women's Retreat in Tomah, Wisconsin. I know one that was scheduled here in Brookfield was canceled. So obviously, if you've signed up for any of those kind of retreats and things, be aware if cancellations are happening. The Wells Women's Writers Conference was canceled or postponed. Again, they're hoping to reschedule perhaps in the fall. And then most recently, an announcement, I'm sure that made a lot of people sad. The Wells International Youth Rally has been canceled for this year, and they're looking forward to 2022, as well as possibly bringing some of the speakers that were scheduled for this year in some kind of an online delivery for that conference. There's others we haven't heard from that are up in the air, and I guess we'll just continue to announce things as we're made aware of cancellations if they're going to happen.
All right, so stay tuned. Picks of the week goes on, though. Rachel, you have a pick this week?
I do, and it it very possibly has been a pick before, but is worth mentioning
it's
again.
Never it's slowed us down, so go right ahead.
It's a website called Epic. It is the website is getepic.com, and it is a virtual library of books, audiobooks, some videos, and right now they are allowing teachers to make accounts and invite their students for free. I know one of the big issues I would have had if I was still teaching my little guys would be, how do I get books to them? Because, you know, parents rely on libraries and rely on those book orders. And if those kind of things aren't happening, how are they going to get new books to read? Well, GetEpic is a great, great tool for that. There are lots of popular books by regular publishers. I know that, like, Days with Frog and Toad is on there. I believe some of the Fly Guy books. I think Diary of a Wimpy Kid might be on there. And then also some that are specific to their platform. They have fiction books, nonfiction books, just a really wide variety of options. And if you sign up for a teacher account, which teacher accounts are always free, but right now Epic is offering to have parent accounts linked to their students for free as well. So the teacher has to set up their classroom and send invites to parents, but then as a teacher, you can set up specific bookshelves or assign books to kids. There are some that have little comprehension quizzes in them, some that it'll read it to you, so the words kind of pop up as the student is reading along. Some where the student can click on the word and it tells you what the word is for struggling readers. So a lot of really great resources to keep your students reading.
Very nice. That looks awesome. So, Ellie.
My turn. All right. And my pick is kind of a recurring pick. So I've definitely done this one before in the past, but it's related to Make and the Make community. Make is a magazine that's out in digital and print format. And something they've done every summer for the last several years is something they call Maker Camp or Make Camp. I gotta look. Maker Camp. And I guess they had it all ready to roll because they have transformed Maker Camp, which normally is announced in about the June time frame for summertime, to be Family Maker Camp. And they have released it for folks to take advantage of during this time period, which is a huge blessing. And so what they have out there is a project library with probably 15 or so different projects that they detail, 15 to 20 that you can make, and many of these with objects that you have right there in your home, or, you know, some of the different things that they introduce you to, but a lot of it is things that you have right on hand, and, you know, step-by-step instructions for those, and a whole community around it where they're inviting you to, you know, give feedback, submit your projects, tell details, tell about revisions to or enhancements to the projects that you made and things like that, kind of building a community. And they actually have a magician who's kind of leading the way. They're going to have their first live streaming with the magician today, actually. And so lots of fun things happening over at Maker Camp. The URL is makercamp.com. And yeah, if you're looking for some projects to investigate as you're spending your time safer at home, this might be a good website to check out.
Very cool. Nice. Thank you. Yeah, some of those, yeah, you worry about some of those businesses that really rely on people coming together on a regular basis and how long it'll take for them to get back in business, those maker fairs and some of those that I think are going to struggle certainly for a while and hopefully can stay in business and kind of weather the storm until they can get back to what they're doing. It'd be a shame if we lost some of those.
Lots of unknowns.
Yeah. My pick of the week is a hardware pick, and I looked back over our Wells Tech archive and thought, boy, I sure must have recommended this before. But now in the times that we're in, and you know, a lot of people just relying on digital communications, they have a need to be online all day and maybe on conference calls all day. That's kind of my life. And you put a headset on or use your, you know, regular iPhone headphones or whatever. And the pick this week is the Jabra Speak series. It's something that I've used for a long time. There are a number of them, the 410, 710, 810, and obviously they go up in price. But basically it's a speakerphone that doesn't require you, obviously, to wear a headphone all day long, which is kind of a pain. Sometimes they're hot, uncomfortable, whatever. These speaker phones are these little flying disc-looking devices that have both a microphone and a speaker. And they are also kind of designed for different size rooms. So I'm not using one now, but normally on a conference call, I'll hook one of these up. They're USB-based. They have their own set of controls, the you know, the up and down volume, and they have noise cancellation built into them, so you don't get that feedback. You know, sometimes you'll get on a conference call, and if somebody's using their computer for both their microphone and their speaker, you'll get that feedback. These devices help you avoid that. So they have high definition audio. Some of them even have Bluetooth, so you can hook up a cell phone to them or even hook them up to each other and get stereo. They provide good music. They're plug and play. Some of them have little dongles, so if you don't have Bluetooth, you can plug it into your computer and actually get a maybe a little more reliable design or reliable experience. The series that I've been using forever now is Jabra. They have a lot of different products, including headphones, but their speaker phones are I think, one of the best out there. So that is my pick of the week. I would really struggle if I didn't have this with me. I brought it home from the office, and this is something that I'm on each and every day. So thus, pick of the week designation, the Jabra Speak line of speakerphones.
And what kind of price range, Martin? For
they range. The 710s and the 810s, they're in the 250 to 450 range because of all the features that they have. But I think the 410, and there's, you can probably even get the cheaper ones, and they're still good too for the 150, 200 range. So they're not super cheap, but you really do get what you pay for. So.
And I can speak to the fact that we've been on conference, you know, multi-person calls, using it as well. So it does fill the room and, you know, make for a good experience with a conference type call.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I've never had any issues with them. And, you know, the call quality is what's important, and they deliver there. So. All right. So those are our picks of the week. How about ministry resources?
Well, this is an exciting article to share. Make sure and check out the show notes to find the link for this. But basically, Wells and Northwestern Publishing House have teamed up to offer a lot of different resources to get us through this challenging time, and many free things that you can make use of to stay connected and enhance your devotional and ministry lives. So there's an article, Resources from Wells and NPH, that links to all of these different things, starting with hymnal options. So Northwestern Publishing House has put together a set of 80 hymns that you can download. Both organ and piano music is available. So if you have a preference to sing along with organ or piano, as well as PDFs of the hymns. So the actual hymnal page is available for download in PDF format. So you can sing hymns for family devotion or different worship opportunities and things like that. It's really high quality and good stuff. They play through the hymns once as an introduction, and then, you know, the music ramps up a little bit, just as if you're right there in church and you can sing along. And it's a neat experience. I listened to a bunch of the hymns the other day when they announced this.
It's kind of neat that they've drawn from different relevant sections of the, mm-hmm. of the hymnal: Lent, Easter, Redeemer, Trust, Faith, Prayer, and Nation. Those are all, you know, obviously very timely. That's kind of cool that they did that.
Yep. And going along with that, if you don't have a copy of Christian Worship at home and you'd like to buy one, they're on sale for 50% off right now. So that's a great deal as well. They are providing Christ-like lessons. I believe there's maybe 8 or so lessons, along with coloring sheets and other activity sheets, as well as the teacher's guide. So if parents are looking for Sunday school material, for instance, they have those things available for free as well. And then the Forward in Christ magazine for both March and April, they've granted free digital access to Forward in Christ, which is just full of great devotional type materials and things. Most recent editions of Kids Connection will be available to view as well. And the Wells Connection for March has been released. So you can view it online or link to it from your church website or from emails that you're sending out to your congregation or whatever. So lots of great resources being made available, and certainly take advantage of those.
Yeah, everybody's kind of chipping in here. This is a really neat thing that MPH and the Synod has done to make these resources, which normally wouldn't be available, because they're recognizing that you know, people are looking for home, both educational and worship resources, and these are great ways to kind of stay in touch with your Synod and obviously with your Savior.
So, Martin, we should, to community feedback. And we have heard from a lot of people this week with a variety of questions that we felt like many would benefit from. So starting with Pastor Ray Schumacher, he reached out last time we talked. We talked about how exactly Holy Communion would be carried out in this new way of thinking. And he reached out and said at Trinity in Waukesha, they've opened up their chapel on Tuesdays and Thursdays during noontime and then in the evening for people to come if they would like private communion. And so I think that's acceptable even with the new safer at home guidelines and things, as long as the number of people that are gathering is less than 10, seems like a very workable solution if people are looking for private communion. And if others have ideas around that, we'd love it if you'd share as well. We also heard from Connie Krieger, who's a member at Emmanuel in Findlay, Ohio. And she wrote to us asking about audio quality on their Facebook Live videos that they're doing. And it sounds like they're doing them with a cell phone. And Martin, you had some advice for her.
Yeah, her concern was the audio quality seemed to be degraded over Facebook Live. And I did a little bit of research. I don't have a lot of personal experience with this issue, but it seems like Facebook Live does compress or reduce the quality of the audio, obviously, to make it streamable for, you know, over devices, over the internet, and over phones, etc. So they're trying to cater to lowest common denominator there. The alternatives seem to maybe provide a way to increase that or improve that experience. YouTube, for instance, does not compress it. They do compress it, but not as much. So you might get a little bit better quality out of a YouTube Live experience, but your mileage may vary as well. So that's, I guess, something to be expected. Don't count on, you know, if you're recording something locally and then playing it back on your phone, you may not get that same experience if you're posting it to some of these social media sites, whether that be Facebook or Instagram or wherever. So that's probably not an uncommon experience that Connie was talking about there.
And maybe that kind of harkens back to something Missionary Hartman said, you know, you don't have to reinvent the wheel if you aren't in the streaming mode. Maybe you want to take advantage of worship experiences being streamed from other congregations and focus on doing recorded video or whatever that you could upload. So,
right,
I mean, there's lots of different ways to do this. So.
And that's a good point. You know, I think congregations or organizations are going to have to figure out what their best method is. And there really is nothing wrong with pre-recording something. And you you do have some more options and maybe even a little bit more forgiveness. And it's a more forgiving medium where you can do retakes and do some post-editing and then upload it to your place of choice. So if you don't feel you need to do the live thing, taking it with a regular, you know, your phone or whatever, you know, media capture device is probably going to get a little bit higher quality.
And that whole concept of a Facebook watch party is pretty cool as well, yeah, where multiple people are
I've seen a lot of those lately.
Been able to chat and things like that as well. So, all right. The next question, and it was a recurring question, one to highlight, was from David Schumann at Peace in Janesville, Wisconsin, asking about online giving and congregations that didn't have that set up already for online giving or looking for what the best solutions are and things. And fortunately, we have a really great answer to this because we just did a show about it recently in December, where we had our friends from the Christian Giving Office, Pastor Kurt Lunenberg and Adam Gady, talk about that very topic and some of the things they recommended. And probably number one that I hear very common is to go with Vanco and their e-giving options. But Tithely is out there and there are other options as well. And all of that is on our show 617. And we'll have a link to that show in the show notes. And then last up was a question from Pastor Chris Cortez, who serves the saints at St. John's in Sleepy Eye. And he was looking to get in on Zoom, a very popular video conferencing application that has, I'm sure, seen astronomical growth over the last 2 weeks. Yep. Can't imagine being an employee there, but it seems to be holding up well. And Pastor Cortez was asking about licensing and different things. Also heard from Pastor Jared Natsis, who had actually recorded some video tutorials. One in particular we'll link to in the show notes about using Zoom to record Bible class. So, you know, there's two different ways. You can just self-record, like you were kind of describing, for worship type things, or you can do the video chat where you have multiple people you can do the live streaming that way too. So lots of different options, but we'll definitely throw a link to Pastor Natsis's video tutorial about recording Bible class.
Very good. Thank you to everybody who provided feedback. That is always most welcome, and especially in these times where it's important to share what you know and experiences or questions that you have that we can maybe help with. The way to do that is go to our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net, and you can see every show listed there from the very beginning. You can comment on shows there, and you can also find different ways to connect with us. Across the upper right edge of the screen, you see all the social networks that we frequent, so you can ask in any of those areas or just send us an email, wellstech@wells.net. Speaking of videos, we do have a video of the week this week. In fact, a couple maybe, huh?
That's right. We have a double header. And I know Rachel is specifically familiar with both of these. So, Rachel, why don't you walk us through what our video opportunities are this week?
Oh, sure. So the first one we have is The Chosen, which is a multi-season TV series based on the life of Christ. So very applicable to the season of the church year. And they have offered their first season for free right now. And Bread for Beggars did a very nice blog post on how to watch for free. And then also an opportunity to discuss the episodes. I've watched a couple of them. They are very good, thought-provoking, definitely good for discussion. So I would check that out.
Excellent. And then just to leave our audience with a little bit of music.
Yes, absolutely. Our second video is from Kettle Moraine Lutheran High School. And their choir, The Echoes, under the direction of Mr. Passberg, did a kind of a virtual choir type of thing. They all recorded themselves singing Do Not Let Your Hearts Be Troubled. And then Mr. Pasberg put that all together and made it into one recording, one video, so you can hear the choir singing together, even though they weren't actually together. And it's pretty amazing. And just and a great song for these times.
Yeah, good stuff. Take advantage of that. Rachel, thank you so much for taking a bit of your Friday time out and giving that to us and to our audience. Really appreciate your insights and everything you bring to the show.
You're welcome. I'm always happy to be here.
Sally, thank you for everything you do. You're going to be, your fingers are going to be on fire today, typing up all these show notes, lots of resources.
Good stuff. Yes.
All right. That's it for show number 625. We'll be back. I don't know when. It may be a Friday, Thursday, Wednesday. Who knows what we're doing these days, but we'll be back at some point with the next episode of the Wells Tech podcast. But we want to thank you for listening to this one, and stay safe and blessings on your ministries. Bye-bye.